I'm Eric Drews, broadcasting from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and we'll be joined shortly here by Matt McLean out in Altoona. And it's been a few days now, so we've had a chance to take a couple of deep breaths and reflect on what happened on September 4th, the opening Thursday for the 2014 Packers season. And it went how many of us feared it might go, and maybe even worse. The Packers falling to the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, 36-16 out in Seattle, and believe it or not, it didn't seem quite that close at times. So we'll delve into that game. We'll talk a little bit about some of the other things that happened yesterday. Matt, let's just dive right into this thing here. Gosh, the Packers looked really rough, and I've had still this argument in my head ever since the game happened. I can't decide that if I just think Seattle is that good or if the Packers have a lot of problems that we didn't foresee during the preseason.
Well, I mean, it's obviously a little bit of both. I think that Seattle really came out and showed why they're the Super Bowl champs, and you can't take anything away from them. I think they would have beaten anybody that night handily. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, there were some clear things that were exposed and are going to keep getting exposed throughout the entire rest of the season. And I think it might make me a little less optimistic about the team that we have. I mean, because some of these things just looked so weak, some certain areas. So I think it's definitely a little bit of both to take the easy way out. But I think I'm going to give more credit to Seattle, I think, than I'm going to take away from the Packers. I just think they showed up and played incredible.
Yeah, Seattle is an unbelievable team. And not to toot our own horn here, but a lot of people yesterday on the pregame shows were talking about how this team reminded them of the early 2000s Cowboys, and we'd been talking about that since middle of last season, that yesterday seemed like the 99, or last year seemed like the 92 version of the Cowboys for Seattle.
Yeah, definitely not the early 2000s Cowboys.
Oh, is that what I said?
Yeah.
You don't think that Russell Wilson reminds you of Quincy Carter?
I don't think anybody strives to be those Cowboys teams.
Yeah, okay, so the early 90s Cowboys. Sorry about
yeah.
that. But they just look like they're head and shoulders above the rest of the league. Even having watched all the games yesterday, San Francisco is close but aren't as good as Seattle. It looked for a half that Denver might have retooled, and then they played pretty lackluster in the second half of their game. We were joking when we were texting back and forth that Seattle might go undefeated and not really surprise anybody. And now I don't think that's going to happen, but I can't foresee them not winning the Super Bowl after week one.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make that kind of a decision after 1 week, and teams are definitely going to get better and worse, but as of right now, at least, they're clearly the best team, and I think put them against anybody, they're going to beat anybody head-to-head right now, and a lot can change over the course of the year. You could have somebody get hurt, but I think right now they're far and away the best team.
Well, and if you think about that, think about who they've beaten. And I know they're so good at home, but now in this Russell Wilson mini era of Seattle football, they've beaten the Packers twice. They've beaten New Orleans twice. They've beaten New England. They've beaten San Francisco three times. They destroyed the Denver Broncos. I mean, they've played all of the... They beat Carolina, too, last year. They've played all of the good teams in the NFL and beaten them all. And so they're a tested commodity at this point. And so one of the things I heard is people talking about the Packers, and yes, they lost, and I don't think people were necessarily expecting them to win. It is one game. I don't think any less of the Packers' chances to make the playoffs, but it feels a little bit like those 90s era Packer teams where what's the point of going and winning the NFC Central or the NFC North, because they didn't even look competitive against Seattle. And if you look at the track record of this team, look at their struggles with the Giants, look at their struggles with San Francisco, this team doesn't adjust to the teams that have their number. They had a year to get better and beat San Francisco, and it didn't matter. They've lost to San Francisco four different ways. The Giants killed them in January of 2012. They came back in November of 2012 and got killed even worse. So to think that this team is all of a sudden going to discover a run defense in the next 4 months or discover how to beat that Seattle passing game in the next 4 months, that seems to be a little foolish to believe that.
Yeah, that was the, I think when I picked the Packers last week, that was my last straw of confidence in them beating one of these two teams, either Seattle or San Francisco. I think going forward, I think there's just so much proof that I don't think I would pick the Packers again until they prove differently. It's just, it's the same thing every single time. It's not like it's just a couple now. We've seen it over and over and over again, and they just can't adjust to it. And I don't know how they beat either of these teams if they have to when it matters.
Yeah, I almost kind of felt silly for even believing they had a chance to beat Seattle when they couldn't even beat the JV Seahawks, which are the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost four straight times, and they were close in the playoffs last year, but the other three games weren't really all that close when you think about it. And so to think they couldn't beat San Francisco at home, and then they're going to go to Seattle and beat Seattle because they got Julius Peppers, I mean, it's good to be optimistic, I guess, but you know what? Let's kind of delve into this here and talk about the problems on this team. The run defense stinks. It's stunk for the last 3 years. They're 30th in the NFL in rushing yards allowed over the last 3 years, and they allowed more rushing yards than all but the Raiders in the games that have been played so far this week, which is great because the team that accumulated all those yards on the Raiders are the New York Jets, who are coming to town this week, so that's not a great thing to think about. But we've known this defense is suspect. They got some new pieces. It could take a while. But the thing, not to be a jerk to the offense, they would have lost anyways. They allowed 36 points.
Mm-hmm.
But to have them look so inept, they looked similar to the way Western Illinois looked against the Badgers on Saturday. They couldn't do anything. The reports were that they didn't even attempt one pass to Richard Sherman's side. It's like, you're the Packers. You have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and you can't figure out at all what to do. I know Seattle's a great, great defense, but gosh, that offense just looked like they had a game plan, Seattle had a counter, and the rest of the game was like, well, psh, what do we do now? I guess we'll just run checkdowns and give it to Eddie Lacy, even though we're down 17.
Yeah, you're completely right. They seemed kind of set in their ways, and I think that seems to be a trademark of the McCarthy Packers. But to go back to your first point with the defense, I mean, there's some really nice pieces to this defense. You've got a nice pass rush on the outside. The corners played pretty well. But you're just so weak in the middle there, and I think I definitely underestimated Raji's injury. I mean, I know he's a piece, but I've been kind of down on him the last couple of years, but
yeah,
the step down from him to Guyon was tremendous.
Yeah.
And just right up the middle. I mean, AJ played okay, but Brad Jones was horrendous. The fact that he's
terrible.
Still a starter in the NFL. The fact that he's had significant playing time for the Packers for so long is a joke.
And not even really challenged in training camp. They don't even bring anybody in to challenge him. He looks like a safety playing middle linebacker.
They just seem okay with him starting. It sounds like Lattimore might get some more snaps this week. But then even in the backside, I wasn't too pleased with how Burnett and even Hyde looked. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, I've been looking forward to seeing Hyde play more. And but, I mean, so it was just straight up the middle. It was just poor play all the way up the middle. So you can be okay on the outsides, but if you can't do anything, you know, up the middle, you're going to get just dominated by a team like Seattle.
Yeah, and it's not even, I mean, it's that. It's certainly that, what you've laid out. But they also, it wasn't like there were these giant gaping holes that people were running through. They were there. They were in the backfield, and four guys missed the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand how you can have, well, Seattle did cheat to have a little bit extra practice time, apparently. They've been fined for it. But I don't understand how you can have two teams that have the same limited number of padded practices. They're all professionals. Seattle didn't miss any tackles. They'd grab a guy like Eddie Lacy, who's been running over people his whole career, you know, as brief as it's been, and they're bringing him down. First chance at contact. You got Marshawn Lynch, who's busting tackles of defensive linemen, and breaking tackles from multiple people at once. It's like, I don't understand, and I was trying to decide whose fault it is, but there has been enough people going through this Dom defense now, and they all miss tackles. So either Ted thinks tackling is the least important aspect of a defensive player, or they just don't have very good coaching, or the way their strength and conditioning and the way they're practicing the live action drills are not working. I don't know. I'm not at the practices, but even compared to the other bad teams defensively that I saw yesterday, it was amazing how bad the Packers looked tackling.
And I definitely agree with that, but I think there's a lot of bad tackling in the NFL. I think having two average to poor middle linebackers definitely accentuates that, because they're the ones who, in essence, are supposed to be making most of these tackles. But I think there's a lot of bad tackling around the league. I think comparing yourself to the Seahawks, though,
yeah,
I think they're the exception more than the Packers are, in my opinion. I think they're just so good at what they do that the Packers might be a little bit closer to the league average, you know, than the Seahawks maybe. They're just so good. The Packers are poor at it, but I think the Seahawks are just that darn good at it.
Which is probably spot on, but that's who you're competing with. I mean, what's the point of playing the other 15 games if you have Seattle standing at the end of the season and you can't do anything to compare yourself to them? It's almost like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but the reason that the Packers in the 90s got so good is because their entire philosophy from coaching, from personnel, was how do we beat the Cowboys? They're more physical than us, they're bigger than us, they're faster than us. The only way we can do that is to do everything they do well and do some other things better than they do. It feels like the Packers, maybe they're trying, but whatever their methods are, aren't working, because you have to beat Seattle. You can't beat Detroit and then go beat the Eagles and go to the Super Bowl, probably anyways. I mean, these are the benchmarks, and there's not just one, there's three. I mean, if you saw that Carolina defense at all in the preseason or yesterday, they're still eating teams alive. So you're going to have to play one of those three teams, and you can't do that with the poorest run defense and then trot out your offense that can only get 175 yards through the air and 255 yards total.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that offense, and we talked a little bit about it before, but I don't know if this will make sense to people who aren't as obsessed with analyzing old stuff and remembering old games like I am, but Aaron Rodgers is Steve Young, and I mean that sort of in a good way and sort of in a detrimental way. This guy is unbelievable when he's playing teams that aren't quite as talented as he is or on par with him, but then when he's got to take his game up to a notch, he kind of stays down at the same level and the game kind of rushes past him. I'm not doing the best way of describing that, but if you ever remember Steve Young, when he'd play the Saints or if he'd play the Rams or if he'd play an up-and-comer like Carolina or the Redskins, he'd torch them. And then he'd go down to Dallas or he'd come to Green Bay and he'd look like a guy who had no idea what to do. And he'd get run out of the joint. He wouldn't be epically bad like Favre, but he'd post about an 89 quarterback rating and they'd lose by 3 touchdowns and everybody would forget. They'd say, oh man, what a bad defense, or oh, what a great performance by the other team, while Steve Young just wasn't up to the challenge. And that seems very harsh, but that's how it feels with Aaron in these big games the last couple of years. And I don't know if it's McCarthy putting the handcuffs on him. I don't know if it's his style of play where number one on his priority list is to not make mistakes, but he looked shell-shocked in that second half, like he had tried everything or at least thought of everything, and he couldn't find the answer, and so he just kind of faded away.
I definitely get what you're saying. I mean, I think most of us probably haven't watched nearly as many Steve Young games as you have, or at least not recently.
Yeah.
But I
just think of the Packer playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously definitely the case. I mean, those New York Giants games. And he doesn't play bad, but it's just so conservative, and again, I don't know if that's him or McCarthy, or they're just so concerned about not turning the ball over, but when that's your focus against such a good team, they're going to end up just all of a sudden, yep, they're up one touchdown, oh, now they're up two touchdowns, and you just can't catch up, so I don't know.
They're handing it off to Lacy down 19 with 20 minutes to go. I mean, I understand you can't just throw, but they had a drive where they went Lacy on first down, Lacy on second down. I'm like, you're down 19. Are you at least going to maybe run the risk that maybe you might throw an interception that isn't deflected and just a forced ball?
Yeah. I mean, the defense isn't good enough for that kind of offense, clearly.
No. But so they play it like they just have to not make mistakes. That's exactly what happens.
Seattle can maybe run that exact offense, and they probably do, but when we do it, all of a sudden the other team's putting up a whole lot more points than we are, so you just can't do it with this defense.
Yeah, and maybe that's the case. They seem to, Rodgers plays like it, and McCarthy coaches like, they think they can beat anybody if they just don't beat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to believe that over the last three seasons and one game is ridiculous. That's clearly not the case.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to look up the stats, but I would be willing to bet that Aaron Rodgers' record when he throws for like fewer than 250 yards and fewer than three touchdown passes is probably average or worse.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win the game when you're Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's trying not to make mistakes, and he's playing against probably the best passing defense we've seen in a long, long time. I get it. But the thing, I guess, that frustrates me is I don't get the take a sack on fourth down and five, throw it away down by 10 when you haven't been able to do anything on offense, roll out and throw it away, or throw a check down. I want him to be a little bit more Favre-like and a little bit more like we've seen from Andrew Luck, where it's like, you know what? We're getting our brains beat in. Who cares if I throw five interceptions? At least I'm not just going to take a sack on third or fourth down.
Right.
Let's try to get back into this thing. If we lose 60 to nothing, big deal. I can handle that.
Absolutely. And when we've talked about, I mean, picking these stupid games, I feel so dumb now picking the Packers for every single one of these games pretty much. But what I always fall back on is I just have this thing set in my brain that Rodgers can outgun the other team, and I kind of in my mind put him against Russell Wilson and say absolutely Aaron Rodgers is the better of the two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes down to it, I'll take Rodgers in a heartbeat. But it's just the way they play doesn't really let him be, you know, who he is, like you said, against the worst teams in the league, and it has a lot to do with going against a good defense, but they're also a lot less conservative when they play a team they know they can beat.
Yeah.
We need to see a little bit more of that if they're going to have a shot, because they obviously can't do it with the defense.
They're a little gun-shy, it feels like. Like, they don't have the stomach to just have a horrible game. They just want to stay close, and then they expect this miraculous moment to happen where they figure it out, and all of a sudden they start destroying one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's happened in games, like you said, a team they know they can beat. They don't panic when they're down 13 to nothing against the Vikings or the Lions because they know they're going to figure it out and they can do it. They've shown no ability to do that against these other teams, and you're probably not going to win a lot of games that way, but at least for me as a fan who can't do anything, I have a little bit more, I guess, respect for the stupid Favre way, where he's like, we're playing at the Buccaneers. We got no chance against this defense, so you know what I'm going to do? It's 3rd and 12. I think I'm going to try to force it to Corey Bradford for no reason because I'm not taking a sack because nothing good can happen. If we lose 90-0, big deal. At least I didn't just stand here and concede a 30-13 loss.
Yep.
So I don't know what the answer to that is. Clearly it's probably to trade for Andrew Luck, right? So I don't know where we go from here. Have we heard anything about Brian Bulaga?
I did hear, and it's slipping my mind now, but I feel like it wasn't as bad as they initially thought. My first report I heard was a torn MCL,
okay.
And then I believe the second one I heard was a sprained MCL. I could be wrong there, but I think it's a 4 to 6 week thing,
okay.
Potentially.
And I see that Eddie Lacy is listed as questionable, as is Brandon Bostic. Eddie Lacy might do good having a couple extra days, so hopefully that'll help him out a little bit. But, you know, concussion is a scary deal. Hopefully
yeah.
They don't necessarily need him to beat the Jets. I was going to – there is one other thing that I have here on my notes is that I think I have to renounce my all-time quarterback list. I had Rodgers at number 6 or 5, and I had Steve Young at right behind him. Both clearly phenomenal players, but after seeing Andrew Luck almost come back again last night, I think I just missed the boat on how I'm supposed to categorize or rank these quarterbacks. I'm still not putting John Elway anywhere near the top two, I don't think, because he's still got to produce some of the volume stats. But I feel like what I did is I looked at them like stock portfolios. If you were going to have this guy in your portfolio for X amount of games, you should expect X amount of yield from that, and then I ranked them based on that yield, where sometimes you can't rank stuff like Andrew Luck, who gets in a hole every single game and then is completely unflustered by it and can come back on anyone, whether he wins or not. Kind of the same thing with Favre. Marino's got that quality to him. I don't know necessarily that I think your list is right, but I think my list missed the boat a bit, and I'm starting to think I need to somehow redo it or repent for what I've done, because I judged the wrong characteristics.
Yeah, I mean, just to get rid of the embarrassment there from your list, I would definitely redo it. And you were right. Yours is wrong, and then mine was correct. So that's where we sit right now.
That's where we sit right now. Okay, well, let's get right into the picks segment then, where I have a one-game lead on you after this last week. All right, I just was trying to deflect the blame from my terrible, terrible quarterback list.
Yeah, so, I know.
So we actually do have a few Facebook questions before we completely move on from the Packer game. So first, let's go to the comments that we had. I asked on Friday morning after people had slept on it how they felt about the game last night. And I'm just going to read these real quick because we have our great fans, and they all not all of them commented, but some of the good ones did. Brian Dinsey said, "Stop freaking out, everyone. It was only the first week. However, the running game could not get going, and the offensive line is a great concern for me, especially if Bulaga is out longer." Any quick comments on that?
Nope. Completely agree. Nothing to disagree with there.
Are you worried in any way that Eddie Lacy wasn't able to get anything going against Seattle?
No, not really. I mean, it still looked like he was running well. So I guess if the holes were there more, again, it's the best defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I would have obviously liked to have seen a little bit more, but I felt like he was running hard, running good. He had a couple of nice runs in the beginning, but they couldn't get anything established. I don't put that on Lacy. I think the offensive line is good enough that they can do it against most teams.
Yeah, to your previous point about how spectacular Seattle's tackling is, Eddie Lacy is not a guy like Amon Green who's juking people and outrunning people and beating them to the edge. He's running over people, and he found out what happens. That's probably what would have happened in every game last year if he would have got taken to the ground at first contact. If the Bears game or any of those games where he had over 100 yards, most of the time those are yards after the catch and yards after contact. And against Seattle, he just... He went down as soon as somebody got their hands on him, and that's because of how good their defense is.
Yeah, and I think to kind of summarize, I see this on Brian's, and I saw this on some other people's Facebooks too, kind of reacting to the overreaction, saying, you know, don't freak out, it's only one game. And that may be true, but at the same time, as we kind of touched on earlier, it did expose a lot of big weaknesses that we're going to, I think, see over and over again, and that we've seen in the past too, that are clearly not fixed. So am I freaking out? No. But do I have confidence that I in my Packers Super Bowl pick anymore? No, not really.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's freaking out. I think that's just you saw the game. I mean, it's you're going to have to play Seattle again if you're going to make it to the Super Bowl. And, you know, and probably a 90% chance of that. So do I feel like I'm freaking out? No, I don't. I'm not one to really overreact, but I think that it's clearly was a game that showed us a lot.
Yeah, I agree 1,000% with that. I got that reaction to a lot of people even before the game when I said, I don't think the Packers are going to win. They're like, oh, come on, where's your faith? And I'm like, there's a difference between faith and blind faith. I mean, Seattle's a great, great team, and I don't think anybody's going out there and saying the Packers are finished, they're going 4-12, but it just feels like a fruitless journey is ahead of them now. Who cares if they go 13-3 and win the NFC North by 5 games? The season's going to end in Seattle, and they're going to get their butts kicked again, probably.
Yep.
So I think, and the Packers, and really no team, has shown the ability to have a horrible run defense and be able to change that midseason. I mean, this defense, maybe to put a grander look at this, we thought this defense was a player or two away this offseason, and it looks like they're a draft or two away right now.
Yeah, they put in some pieces, but maybe in the wrong spots. They didn't address the places that they really needed it.
Yeah, like the guy who's developing the scheme and calling all the plays.
Yes, they should have drafted a new defensive coordinator.
There's got to be one out there, right? Okay, Caleb Pike in our Fan Hall of Fame said, "Pretty much what I expected, but just a bit worse. I expected the Packers to not do much on offense, and I expected them to lose the turnover battle while giving up sacks. I did not expect the defense to be so poor or so easy to fool at every turn. I'm pretty disappointed with that and already worried about our depth. Brian is right that this is only week one, but my hopes that we could win a Super Bowl are already basically gone." So a Cliff's Notes version of what we've been saying pretty much. Seattle's offense, I heard somebody say that they ran a high school offense with effective precision and a lot of power, which is maybe a little bit too simplistic, but it's amazing what happens when you block well and you execute. There's really no, you can't outthink a guy who can move you from your spot and run past you with a really good running back.
Yeah, maybe just running a little bit more simple play, spending less time on that in practice, and maybe just really, really drilling home the fundamentals. Maybe that's what they're doing different. Maybe that's why they're tackling so much better, is because they don't have to do smoke and mirrors to make plays happen, maybe like we do. They're just going to beat you up front.
Yeah, that and HGH, I think. That'll,
that too, yep.
That'll do it. And breaking the league rules for how often you can practice.
I mean, I hate to take away from the Seahawks, but I would not be surprised at all if something came out that every single player on that defense was on some kind of miracle drug. And that's a compliment, because they just seem so much better than everybody. I know that Brandon Browner and one other guy got caught for, I think, last year. But I guess if that something like that broke, I wouldn't be surprised in the least, because there's got to be some answer for why they're so much better than everybody.
Covered in Stickum, on HGH, practice four times extra per week.
I mean, these are like undrafted guys too, a lot of these guys. I mean, they're not like all first-round picks or just, you know, huge contract guys. They found these guys in different places, and miraculously, every single one of them is amazing.
Yeah, it kind of is how they looked at USC, where they'd have walk-ons who were amazing.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll, I wonder what he's doing right. He's just, I mean, he's such a great coach, because, you know, he just had the whole 90s where he couldn't go better than 9-7 with any team he had in the NFL. So he must have just turned the corner, right, in his late 50s or whatever he is.
Or he found like a genie lamp or something and made a
made a good wish.
Or a deal with the devil or something, yeah.
Maybe he found that machine at a carnival in Big when he was walking around after.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Okay. Eric Hansen, another one of our great fans, said, I'm assuming he's referring to Brian and Caleb when he says, well said, guys, unless he's a time traveler and he knew what we were going to say already. While I certainly think last night showed that the Packers have a few things to work on, it's just week one and they were playing the Super Bowl champs in the hardest stadium to win in. I'm still thinking that they win the NFC North and finish about 11-5 or so. A few things that do concern me, though. While the Packers seem to finally have a decent running game again, it seems like they are focusing on it too much last night. I mean, when you're down 17 points or more with less than two quarters left, you can't keep trying to establish your run game, and you need to just cut your losses and move on to a pure pass attack. Number two, the offensive line still needs some work, and Rodgers needs to learn to throw the ball away sometimes. Number three, the defense needs to get much better at tackling. There are a few bad missed tackles that turn into big plays for Seattle. Like I said, though, we shouldn't read too much into one game. I thought they would lose last night, but I still say they win the division unless there's a significant injuries to Rodgers, Matthews, or Nelson. Pretty much what we've said in this show so far. One thing I will say is we've talked about this in our first year, then we kind of reneged last year, and then we speculated again. Clay Matthews, it felt like that game, spent most of the time either being fooled or blocked one-on-one by a tight end. To me, that's inexcusable for a guy who at one point last year was the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. If Reggie White would have been blocked one-on-one with the tight end would have ended up through the goalposts.
Mm-hmm.
Any elaboration on that at all?
Yeah, it's tough because he was the best defensive player, I think, out there. Mm-hmm. But you're right, too. I mean, he made a couple of really good plays in the beginning of the game where he was the only one that could get to the quarterback, and he was coming in, you know, just flying in on the quarterback, but at the same time, yeah, he gets negated so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might make two or three big plays in the game, but it seems like that's all you get from him then. I don't know. We've talked about this a lot, whether we think he's worth the money he's getting paid, and you could probably address some other need areas if you weren't paying him so much, but it's a tough one because they need him with how bad their defense is, but at the same time, I don't know if he's doing enough either.
Yeah, I agree with that. And lastly, Nathan Shaw, another one of our longtime great listeners. This game gave me a good reminder of the players we still failed to replace that we lost in the past, such as Nick Collins, JerMichael Finley, and Colin Jenkins. I'm also worried about McCarthy's play calling. They run the ball between the tackles on the first drive, then why stop? Also, what happened to the play action, bootlegs, or five wides in the red zone? Those plays were our bread and butter, and I rarely see them anymore. I really wish they would have gotten rid of John Kuhn. As much as I like him, it feels like their red zone offense is, how do we showcase this mediocre fullback? It's like you have Aaron Rodgers, you have Jordy Nelson, everybody else in the league. The Saints make the red zone look like the easiest thing ever. Like if you get within 15 yards of the red zone, they score a touchdown every time. They're doing it with five wides. We have receivers like that, but no, we'd rather do a fullback dive with John Kuhn three times.
Yeah. Yeah, frustrating.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that either. And then one last topic before we rapid-fire our picks here. Jason Chastain had a great question for us, and he said, after the Packers lost to Seattle, what will it take for you guys to have confidence in the team as far as playoff potential, or is it a moot point as long as Seattle and San Francisco can shred them seemingly at will? So we both think that they have a very small chance of winning a Super Bowl now, seeing as how they've gotten manhandled by Seattle and San Francisco. Well, they're 0-6 the last three seasons playing these teams. What will it take for them to restore your confidence? Is it possible?
I guess, yeah. Well, the easy answer, I won't take this route, but the easy answer is beat one, I guess.
Yeah. But they can't. The only one on the schedule left is Carolina.
And I guess a win in that game would give me a little bit more confidence, but I don't really know if there's much you can do against the other teams they're playing because, except for Carolina, they're just not the same. I guess if they can really get a good, strong run game going and pick up the run defense, but I don't know how you just snap your fingers and turn that around when it's been bad for so long. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Eric. I mean, if you can maybe make a trade and get some help in the middle, that would maybe be the only thing that helped me because I don't know if the current team that's established can do it.
Yeah, they might need to go get Ryan Pickett or somebody, a bigger body to move. I mean, even if the body gets moved, at least it will take longer with Ryan Pickett than it will with Guyon. Mm-hmm. I think if they held Carolina to 70 rushing yards and were able to score 28 points, I would maybe be able to make an argument, but this is considering that they've improved the rest of the way because if Adrian Peterson has already rushed for 400 yards in two games and Matt Forte has had 140 yards and Reggie Bush has had 110 yards and let's say they get geared up and beat Carolina, well, they've risen up and stopped the bleeding on some of their problems in a one-game basis many times. Mm-hmm. They have to do it week in and week out. It would start this week by stuffing the Jets with that, you know, dual rushing attack that they have now with Johnson and Ivory, but yeah, I want to see them. They got to do two things, I think. Carolina is really the only major test. They got to slow down that Carolina rushing attack, maybe make some tackles, miss less tackles over the course of the season, but the Packers got to score in that Carolina game. They can't even win 20-17. They got to get like 30 against Carolina for me to believe that. Because what's the point? I mean, they played defensively very well against that Seattle-San Francisco-style defense in the playoffs last year, and then their offense only scored 20. So yeah. They have issues on both sides of the ball. I think this is the long answer of me saying I don't know if they can either.
Yeah, I guess that's my final answer is they can't until they get to the playoffs and play one again. To me, nothing you do during the regular season. Carolina's probably three out of those three type of teams, or I wouldn't say probably, they are the third best of those three type of teams. So even if you show up and play well against them, I still don't have confidence you can beat Seattle. So
yeah, because Carolina can't score.
Yeah, so I don't think there's anything you can do in the regular season to change my mind.
Oh, don't worry, though. They'll beat the Saints 51-45, and everybody will be like, oh, this offense is great. Look out for them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it for this week. Let's put it behind us and look forward to the New York Jets game. But before that, let's rapid fire our picks here because I know we're running long. Matt, we did our picks last year in the start of a brand new head-to-head square off. This is probably more interesting than any of the individual games will be this year is who wins the season-long picks off by me and Matt.
I think you're right.
Well, obviously. And so what we're going to do is we're going to tally it up at the end of the season, and whoever picks more correct games cumulatively will be the winner. Unless you come out the winner, then we'll do week-by-week head-to-head matchups. And then if I don't win either of those, we're not going to mention it on the air.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so going into tonight's game, you were 8-6 yesterday. I was 9-5. There's no way we can improve our standing today either way because we both picked Detroit and San Diego. So I guess I get a one-game lead going into next week. So you can start picking first. Right away on Thursday, we're back at it with the Steelers visiting Baltimore. Who do you got in this one?
Well, hold on a second here, Eric. I was just counting up the totals, and I seem to have gotten 9 correct yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So let's not cheat here, first and foremost.
Let me see. Okay, so you got...
I got New Orleans
yep.
over Atlanta, Minnesota over St. Louis,
yep.
Jets over Oakland,
yep.
Philly over Jacksonville,
yep.
Pittsburgh over Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
Cincy over Baltimore, Houston over Washington, Carolina over Tampa, and
okay.
Denver over Indy.
Okay, so that's what?
Nine.
Okay, so you got nine then.
Yes. So we're tied.
No, I don't think we are, because I had...
Oh, you just got 10 now?
No. I have New Orleans, I have Pittsburgh, I have Philadelphia, I have the Jets, I have Houston, I have Miami, I have Carolina, San Francisco, Denver, and Seattle.
All right, I might have to go back and check the game tape on that one.
Okay, you do it. Okay. All right, so Steelers-Ravens. Who are you going to take, both of them? Because you're a crybaby and you think I steal points from you?
And just two, before we get into this next week, who do we have for the two games tonight? I had Detroit and San Diego. Who did you have?
I have those as well.
Okay. So, for the Thursday night game, I'll take Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think it being in Baltimore makes it a little tough, but I think just from watching these two teams this last week, Pittsburgh looked a lot better, even though they almost lost to Cleveland, but Baltimore looked like trash.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well, because at least they can score.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco threw the ball 62 times to get 10 points? I mean, that's brutal.
I think I heard a stat. He was like 9 of 30 at one point or
oh
something like
gosh.
That today.
Yeah, and it's not going to get better. There's no reinforcements coming from... if we want to touch, I guess, on the Ray Rice thing real quick, Ray Rice is trash, and I'm glad he's gone. Do you want to add anything to that?
Nope. Good decision by the Ravens. I guess the NFL has now suspended him indefinitely, I think I heard right before we started this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably not going to be on a team all year. But I haven't actually had a chance to watch the video, but I heard enough about it to mm-hmm. probably agree with that.
Yeah, and I haven't watched it either. And here's hoping that the NFL does the right thing before TMZ forces him to in the future, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably something we could talk about for another half hour we won't get into today, but they're just so reactive, and it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that he should have got a two-game ban only to begin with, but for them to keep backtracking and, you know, it's really frustrating, and I kind of wonder if this might cost Goodell his job.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that, as I'm sure those types of things will come out, so maybe this will be a more interesting discussion in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, I agree with you. There's no internal consistency, it feels like. It feels like they're more concerned with the illusion of justice rather than there being legitimate justice.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
Okay, so I'm also, or we both taking the Steelers in this game. Now we got Dolphins at Bills.
I'll take Miami in this one. I think the Bills look pretty good, and they're at home, so again, that makes it a little more difficult, but I think Miami's a little bit more well-rounded, and they beat a pretty good team on Sunday. I guess that gives me a little bit more confidence in them.
Yeah, so you're picking Miami, you said?
Miami, yep.
Yeah, I'm taking them as well. This feels like the ultimate letdown game for Buffalo. They'll come home triumphant. Everybody will be excited, and Miami will beat them 20-3.
Classic Bills.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll take Miami as well. The Saints travel to Cleveland to take on the red-hot Brian Hoyer Browns.
Saints here. The Browns looked pretty good in that second half, but still Saints.
Yeah, this one's easy. Definitely the Saints. Lions at Panthers could be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I like this one. It's I pick Carolina, but I'm kind of scared with that just because who knows if Cam Newton's going to play, in which case I'd obviously change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Carolina at home. They're the kind of team that flusters Matt Stafford, and so I pick Carolina.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'll stick with Carolina, too, I guess. This feels like the game where Matt Stafford's going to throw a billion interceptions.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as Derek Anderson isn't horrible, and if Cam Newton plays, I think it's pretty easy. But this feels like a game that Matthew Stafford will throw for 400 yards, throw four interceptions, and they'll lose 17-10. So I'll take Carolina as well. The Atlanta Falcons traveling to Cincinnati to play the Bengals.
This is another tough one here. I'm taking Atlanta, though. I think they looked a lot better on Sunday. And I think they probably played a little bit better competition, too. I think Cincinnati's offense was a little concerning against not that good of a defense. I'll take Atlanta just because they can put up some more points.
I think you might be right, but for the sake of being interesting, I'll take the Cincinnati Bengals at home. I feel like Atlanta still, as well as they played yesterday, they still had some rough spots in there, and I don't think that the Bengals' defense is bad enough to let them back into a game that they might be out of early. I know Matty Ice has a reputation for coming back, but he's usually got to be pretty close in order to have that comeback. He doesn't come from way back like Andrew Luck does, and I think this game could get out of hand early, provided you know, Andy Dalton doesn't play like an idiot. So
sure.
I'll take the Bengals.
Okay.
Cowboys at Titans.
This is a tough one. I think I am going to pick, I'm trying to find this one on my picks here. I've already picked it. Just
okay.
Got to find it. I think I picked Dallas here, and I did, yep. Man, Romo played pretty bad yesterday, but
yeah.
I just don't, I think Tennessee's win was kind of more of a fluke against a KC team that was off. I think that, I think Dallas is clearly the better team here. They are on the road, but mm-hmm. I'll take Dallas in a close one.
Yeah, I just don't think Kansas City's very good, so I don't think the Titans have the kind of weapons to stay with Dallas, and
yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like to be a Cowboy fan, because I feel like when I'm watching the Cowboys that if they would just stop messing around and give it to DeMarco Murray and let him run, he could be like a 1,700-yard back. The Packer game is the same way that they had last year. Yesterday he had a bunch of yards too. It's like they give it to him 10 times in the first half. He gets 80 yards, and then they're like, yeah, but, you know, throwing's way more fun. So, mm-hmm. you know, sit on the bench. Let's put in Lil' Cole Beasley, as Joe Buck called him yesterday. Okay. Jaguars at Redskins, a battle of two pretty bad teams.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Jacksonville definitely looked like the better team mm-hmm. over the weekend, but I think I'm taking Washington here. I think they maybe figured out a little bit against a much worse defense than they played. It's probably going to be a sloppy game, but I'll take the Redskins.
I'm actually going to take Jacksonville in this one. I know they only played half of a good game yesterday, but Washington over the last, what, they got the longest losing streak in the NFL right now in 9 games, and they can't score at all.
Yeah.
And I know that they have a good pass rush down in Houston, but they just can't do anything on offense. And until they prove otherwise, I don't really have any reason to believe they can, because during those 9 games, even as much as Houston's talked about for their pass rush, they still had a really, really bad defense with
yep.
that pass rush last year, and they couldn't do anything. So I'll take the Jaguars in a mild upset.
Okay.
The Patriots travel to Minnesota to take on those red-hot Vikings, who are 5-0 if you include the preseason so far in 2014.
This is kind of a scary game for New England. I'll take the Patriots, but to go into the Metrodome against a Vikings team that's all hopped up on confidence, it's got a great running game, and their defense actually looked pretty darn good. They were playing a bad offense, but they looked good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to take New England here, but I'm not going to be surprised if New England goes 0-2 now after this game.
I would be pretty surprised, actually, if New England went 0-2. I think that Rams team is just so hapless right now, and so Minnesota's doing some good things, but I just feel like this is the kind of game where Tom Brady just calmly stays in the pocket, just picks everybody apart. I don't know how the Vikings are going to really be able to stop him, and they have a good running game and whatever, but I don't know. I feel like the Patriots are going to win this one. Castle versus Brady, which that had to have happened in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Okay, well, I think Brady wins again. Cardinals at Giants. Now, this is a very hard one to pick, seeing that we haven't seen either of these teams play yet this
yeah.
year, but we'll just take a shot in the dark.
All right, and I, in this one, am going to take, man, this is a tough one. I have Arizona circled here on my paper, but and it's hard in having not seen them played, so I guess I'm just basing off last year. Arizona, I guess. No, for no reason at all, I'm just picking the Cardinals.
Well, you can't really have a reason at this
yeah.
point. I'm going to take the Giants. I feel like Carson Palmer will throw 3 interceptions, and Eli will only throw 2, and being at home, I'll take the home team.
Sure.
Seahawks at Chargers. Any chance of an upset in this one?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance, but I'm still taking Seattle. I don't think that San Diego defense is good enough to help them outscore the Seahawks, so I think Seahawks win.
Yeah, and I think this defense is good enough to beat up on Phillip Rivers and
yeah.
make him look like Aaron Rodgers has looked and Drew Brees has looked and all of these guys. It feels like, not to go off into a side topic, but as good as a lot of these quarterbacks are that Seattle's shutting down, it almost feels like the only guys who have a chance are guys like Luck and guys like Colin Kaepernick, who really can become running quarterbacks primarily if they have to.
Mm-hmm.
These guys who are mobile, or in Phillip Rivers' case, is not so mobile, they really don't seem to have a chance. They just
yeah,
kind of have
the least mobile.
The least mobile quarterback. Yeah, so I don't see any way that the Chargers can beat San Diego, barring some injuries. Rams at Buccaneers. Two pretty bad teams, one with some pretty bad jerseys.
And I'm picking Tampa here. I think their away uniforms looked a little better than I thought. I know their homes are going to be just horrible.
Yeah.
But other than maybe that the little bit of the bright orange in there, they really didn't look too much different than last year's, but the homes are going to be just terrible if they wear them this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think Tampa could have a decent team this year. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team by any means, but they're certainly a whole lot better than that St. Louis offense right now. Mm-hmm. They've got some good receivers, a good running back, and an okay quarterback, and that's a lot more than St. Louis has.
Yeah, I got to agree with you again, unfortunately. The Buccaneers are they are a scrappy team. They almost came back on Carolina yesterday. And the thing is, the Rams, not only, I mean, the offense stunk. Everybody knew there was a chance of that with Bradford being gone. But that defense, which is supposed to be sort of good and up and coming, got mm-hmm. blown away by a Vikings team that isn't very good from, you know, last year's example. Maybe they are. The Vikings.
And it wasn't even AP that did it. He only had like 80 yards, I think. It was all Cordarrelle Patterson and
Patterson had 100 yards rushing on three carries. I mean, that's a Melvin Gordon versus Tennessee Tech stat line right there.
Yeah, well, he did have like 80 on one, I think.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I did not expect the Rams defense to look that bad at home against a team that's not very good.
No.
So I'll take the Buccaneers. And as bad as Tampa's uniforms are, Rams, get with the program. Almost every team has got rid of the stupid polo collar since 2012. Yeah. Buffalo doesn't even have the polo collar anymore. So if the Bills are cooler than you, you got to change. All right, Chiefs at Broncos.
Broncos. I think pretty clear here. If you can't beat Tennessee, you're not going to beat Denver.
Yeah, I don't really need to elaborate.
Denver, yeah.
Kansas City looked like maybe well, outside of St. Louis, they looked like one of the worst teams in football yesterday.
Yep.
And they didn't even play anybody any good. Okay, the Texans playing the Raiders.
I'd actually kind of want to watch this game. It should be good. Oakland was kind of fun. Carr had a couple of nice throws. I know they didn't put up a whole lot of points. I'll take Houston. I think they're just – the defense is better than Oakland's, and I probably trust Fitzpatrick and Arian Foster more than I trust Mojo and Carr, so I guess I'll take Houston here.
I'm going to take the Raiders at home because Fitzpatrick is just – I can't trust him at all. And seeing how – Houston, even with that good defense, you think J.J. Watt could disrupt things, but it didn't matter. He was disrupting things last year, and they still went 2-14. So
yeah.
I'll just take the Raiders at home. And James Jones looks like he might have found a little bit of a good fit, which I'm glad to see. He had a heck of a catch yesterday.
Yep. So right at the end of the game, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, so hopefully it works out for him there. The Bears go to San Francisco at the Sunday Night Football game next week. So who do you got in that one?
I really want to pick Chicago here for an upset, but I don't think I can. I even have the Bears circled here. I'm going to have to change it. I think I got to lean back on San Francisco here. I think Chicago plays a pretty similar style of offense that Dallas plays, and I think that didn't work out so well for the Cowboys yesterday. So, especially the 49ers being at home,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit too much for the Bears. I'll take the 49ers.
Yeah, and I'm not really even worried at all about that Chicago Bear offense, which I don't think will be they'll be challenged, definitely. They'll be able to score some points, but I don't think they'll be able to score a ton. That Bears defense is still atrocious. At times yesterday, E.J. Manuel didn't seem like he could do anything, and they were still giving up like 7 yards of carry on the ground, it felt
Eric,
like.
But at about 12:10 yesterday, you texted me and told me that the Bears were going to win the Super Bowl after they scored their first touchdown.
But then I corrected myself after the Bears gave up their first touchdown and said the Bills were going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The 49ers drew a great draw for the first 2 weeks of the season, playing two of the worst defenses of all time back-to-back, and I think they're going to be able to put the hurt on the Bears as well in the brand-new first game of Levi's Stadium regular season. Monday Night Football should be interesting. The Eagles at the Colts. And I said on Twitter yesterday that I thought that Andrew Luck should become the NFL's all-time quarterback because every drive either has a bomb or a cool run or something wacky, or he throws a devastating interception. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, fun to watch. I'll take Indy in this. I think this should be a really good game. I'm excited for it. I think it should be a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Offense, I think, in the second half looked good enough to maybe change my mind on this one. I probably would have picked Philly had they not mounted that comeback at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Indy just because I think Philly looked a little unconvincing.
Yeah, and I'm going to take Indy as well. I know we're kind of staying with the same picks, but yeah, I think them at home and the Eagles kind of struggled, but we'll see. If the Colts do win, it'll probably be another big-time comeback.
Yeah.
Real quick before we pick the Packer game, the last play of that Denver game where Andrew Luck threw an incompletion, it looked like another play where there were a lot of hands on receivers and things. Definitely looked that way in the Packer game.
Yes.
A bunch of other games, and the NFL insisted that the preseason was not just them trying to prove a point and that they would call it exactly the same way during the regular season. And if you watched more than one game this weekend, you could see that clearly they're full of it because they did not call it anywhere close to as strict as they did in the preseason.
Yeah, and we called that, and I think everybody kind of knew. They were insistent, like you said, that there was going to be the exact same, but not only was there no way that they could keep that up and make the game still be watchable, it's almost like Goodell specifically goes to the refs, like, hey, just ease off a little bit this week, because it's whether they're calling it, like, in the preseason or whether they're not calling it, like, week one, it's so uniform across the league. It's not like one set of refs decided, you know, let's not call it like we were doing in the preseason. They all did it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, clearly there was some kind of memo that went out that said that, you know, to not call it the same way they're calling it in the preseason. There was clearly something that was made clear to these guys to change up what they were doing a little bit because that was clearly a pass interference at the end of that game. A lot of receivers getting mugged around the league yesterday, and those would have been flags in the preseason.
Yeah, without a doubt. My conspiracy theory on this is that they were trying to prove a point to fans like me who get upset about red zone and get upset about fantasy football and them catering the game to people who don't like football, to just try to define who their absolute bankable fan base is, because they're saying, for the whole month of August, we're going to churn out just this most unpleasant, unwatchable programming, and this game is just going to suck, and we're going to find out how many people are willing to watch that no matter what. And then we'll move away and try to grow from that point. Because I think that if they looked at the people who watched the triple header week four preseason games on NFL Network with a million penalties and said, hey, look it, we still got 12 million idiots watching this crap that we can bank on these guys forever, and now we can move on, and we've proven that we can get no lower than that, so now let's go try to capture all the other people that aren't watching football right now.
That's a good theory.
It's possible, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. And the final pick for this weekend is the Jets at the Packers at Lambeau Field, in the Packers' only game at home this month. They're going to be taking on the Jets at 3:25 next Sunday afternoon. Bounce back game, yes or no, for the Packers?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see any way, even against our defense, that Geno Smith can keep up. I'm a little scared going into this game, to be honest. I don't think it's a cakewalk like I did maybe if I were to pick it before the season started. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm definitely picking the Packers here, and I think they're going to do it, but I'm a little scared. I'm not as confident as I want to be.
Yeah, this feels a lot like that Bengal game in 2009 when the Packers beat the Bears the first game of the year, and you're like, oh, here comes the Bengals. Who cares? They got a decent pass rush. Their offense is okay. We're going to whoop them, and then they lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's not going to be easy. I feel like it'll be like a 24 to, I don't know, maybe a 34-24 kind of game for the Packers. I feel like the offense can get on track. If they're not able to use Eddie Lacy, I feel like it could be a little scary, but yeah, I mean, even if you just pluck away with the rush, I feel like Geno Smith's gonna cough it up enough times to where the Packers can win. If they got upset, I would be upset, but I guess I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think that's gonna happen though. I'm taking the Packers. Okay, it feels like there's not too many games for us to differentiate ourselves this week, so I'll have to go back and tally it, but I'll get together the poll as well on the Facebook page, and if anybody wants to play along with us, they can do that as well and prove that you're much smarter than any of us are. Other than that, you can go on the Facebook page and you can comment on there. That's Green and Gold Forever Podcast on the Facebook page. You can also tweet at us, Green Gold Forever. That's the number 4. That's our Twitter handle. You can always comment on the podcast, and if you want to hear some keys to the game each week. We actually have a new spot on KZ Radio. It's 104.3 in Green Bay, and it's 92.9 in Appleton, where for some reason I'm allowed to go on there and share my opinions. It's been very fun to have those on there, and you should probably stick around. If you like any of the bumpers that we use at the beginning of the broadcast, then you'll love the KZ lineup of music, some of the hits you've forgotten from the 80s and the 90s, or if you're young like us, maybe you go back and discover them for the first time. So check us out on KZ Radio. It'll be in the days before the games. And I guess I should say check me out on there. I'm a greedy person. I've insisted that Matt not be allowed to take part in the KZ Radio segments.
I'm not ready for national radio. I don't or even local radio.
I'm not ready for national radio either.
I'm not ready for local radio.
Yeah, so check me out on there. And we appreciate the opportunity for them to have us on there. It's really been fun in the 1 week we got a chance to do it. So check us out on there. I feel like I've said that a million times. I guess I could get out of shill mode. Matt, did you realize that I wrote an article about the preseason?
I did realize that.
Okay. All right, so that's all we have for this week. Everybody, thank you very much for listening, and hopefully the Packers can get back on track. It was a rough start to the season. There's probably some more rocky spots to come, but hopefully it smooths out a little bit on Sunday. So for Matt in Altoona, oh, man, they're playing the Jets this week, and I promised I wouldn't anymore. Okay, I won't. I'm Eric at Oshkosh. Take care, everyone.